good morning. How are we all this morning? Oh, so good. Look at this, my little new pulpit, because that's my size, you know, just saying. Well, what a great day to be in the house of God this morning. And, you know, it's a bit cold outside, but, you know, it's warm in here because the Holy Spirit is in this place. What a wonderful worship time we've had. And I just feel the presence of God so strongly in this place. Did you feel that today? Yeah, it's good. Well, I'm just kind of loud in here. Adam, could you just turn me down a bit, please? So I wanted to, before I start to preach, I wanted to actually pray for a family today. They're going to be leaving us in terms of moving forward. So that is Caitlin and Beck and their two kids, Eric and Abigail Beckhouse. So she didn't want to come up the front, so I want you to reach out your hand today and pray for her. So this family has been with us for a couple of years. They are such a beautiful family. They've just had a bubby, Abigail, and she's just so gorgeous. If you haven't met Abigail, you just got to see her. So Ben has got a new job at the Glass House Mountain, so that's why they're moving in there. They love very much Impact Church, but obviously you can't travel from Glass House Mountains to here. So, you know, we've told them that they can still connect and have a great church there. Church on the Rise, I think it is, with Pastor Aaron and Megan Jackson. So we're hoping that you connect there and establish yourself there. But why don't we as a family, church family, reach out your hand? Obviously, you know, we can't get her up here, but why don't you reach out your hand and just say a prayer as we get them to go. So, Father, we just thank you for this family. We thank you for Ben, Caitlin, Abigail and Eric. Lord God, I thank you that you'll establish them in this new chapter. I thank you, Lord God, that you'll be with them. I pray for your provision, for your peace, and for your protection, Lord, as they go and, Lord, establish a new place as their home in the Glass House Mountains. We love you. We thank you. And, you know, as that prayer in Numbers 6:23, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you. So why don't you just give them a round of applause as we say goodbye. But don't be a stranger, right? Don't be a stranger. You can still basically visit if you want to, and that'll be a good thing. Now, on behalf of Pastor Tony and Cheryl, our senior leaders, we've got a little plant for you that we hope that you will enjoy us in your home. We ask that that be a flourishing thing. So that will be a good thing for you. So be blessed, and I hope that blesses you too. Well, good things. Well, so next week is a special weekend, Father's Day. And so it's a bit different this year. We all know that's going to happen. So there are a couple of things that we're going to do online, and we're going to have a baby dedication as well. All going well, there's about four babies that want to be dedicated. So that's a good thing. We're going to do it COVID style, but with meaning. And so if those of you who still want to have your babies dedicated, please see someone at the Ask Me desk, and we'll definitely sort that out for you, ready for next weekend. Fantastic. Well, who's ready for the Word of God?
Yeah, Mom.
Fantastic. Well, I preached on repentance last week. Did you all repent when you got home? Well, I certainly had some moments this week where I had to go back to the top, because, you know, God's got a good sense of humor. He says, well, you preach it, now you got to live it. Yeah. So that message was meant to reevaluate, reexamine, and redefine our life. And hopefully that led you to some revelations that God showed you, and therefore would lead you to repentance. You know, it doesn't matter where you've been and what you've done, but it does matter where you're going. And today I'm going to preach another unpopular topic, and that is surrender. Surrender. See, no one claps for surrender. I mean, seriously. So repentance and surrender goes hand in hand. And today's message is to help each and every one of us get ready for what God wants to do in us, for us, to us, and through us. Are you ready for that? Yeah. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word that you've given me. Though it's unpopular, I thank you that it's important in our lives. I pray, Father, that the words I speak today will be food for the soul. I pray, Father, that each and every one of us here will know that you are asking us to surrender only because you have better plans for us. So I pray for this word that it'll accomplish on how you've sent it, Lord. And I thank you for using me as your vessel today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, when we talk about surrender, what picture or definition do you, in your mind, does it come up? What comes up? Sorry. You know, in the dictionary, it says, you know, stop resisting an opponent or an enemy and submitting to their authority. Or it means that it's about giving up or handing over to a person or a right or possession. You know, for some of us, surrender is a scary word because it conjures up some of these negative thinking that it's all about like a white flag, you know, waving and things like that. But, you know, it's more than that. It is giving up of my right or an attitude, or it is something we hold value to. In a military terms, this is what it says. Surrender means defeat. But for a fully devoted follower of God or a disciple of Jesus, it means victory. You know, what I've learned about surrendering and still learning, I might add, is that it's not just a one-time decision, in as much as like repentance is. Surrender is not a once and done act, but a lifestyle, a lifelong process. Aren't you glad that surrendering, when you gave your heart to Jesus, that is just like, that's it. You surrender everything. It's a journey. It's a process. And so God's asking us into a lifelong journey when he asks us to render something. Surrender is like a domino effect. Just when you think you have surrendered an area of your life, God would reveal another. Anybody there? Or am I just by myself? All by myself. Well, let me give you an example. So Renee is my assistant this morning. When I preach, I like some, you know, props and everything so you can actually know what I'm trying to talk about. Now, in here, I have hot water. A jug of hot water. And in here, I got a tea bag. Now, I'm not a coffee drinker. Seldom do I drink coffee. And I am a tea drinker, and I have been known to drink Earl Grey. I don't like English breakfast. I have known to drink green tea, but I've also been known to drink black decaffeinated tea. I mean, come on, what is that about? Might as well just don't drink tea, decaf. But because of my heart condition before, I've been asked not to drink other tea, but I'm a rebel, so I just drink Earl Grey anyway. But anyway, I want to ask you a question. If I put this tea bag in here, in my hot water, dip it in. Come on, get in there. Is that enough? For those of you who are a tea drinker, is that enough? Pretend that's a cup, okay? So what about if I dip it in, like one? No? I mean, come on, some people like their tea weak. I mean, what's that about? That's just like, why even bother? You know, what about another dip or three dips? Ah. you know what? It's really funny because one dip, two dips is not enough. You gotta fully immerse that thing. Come on, get in there. You know, fully submerge it. Is that better? Does that like look like a good color for you? Camera, can you see this? We need to be saturated. We need to be fully surrendered when we actually give our life to Jesus. You know, too often I see believers, well, come on, man, I've given my heart to Jesus. Why aren't things changing? I go to church when I feel like it. I go to church once a month or twice a month. I tithe. I go to church when I don't have any other offers or whether I feel the need to sleep in. Am I touching on some points here? I tell you why things are not changing for you. Because this is not a dip and done gospel. We do not serve a dip and done God. And most often than not, we just go, oh, okay, God, I just want to do one thing and then, oh, it's too hot. I'm going to get out of there. It's too difficult. I might just hop out. We serve a God that requires your all. We serve a God where your surrender is important to Him. That's when things would really change. Luke 9:23 says in a Passion Translation, and I love this, he says, Jesus said to all of his followers, if you truly desire to be my disciple, you must disown your life completely. Embrace my cross as your own and surrender to my ways. Anyone wanting to sign up for surrender today? Two people. What do the rest of you want? A cold tea? You know, surrender is not easy. It's actually scary because if we think if we give up what God is asking us to give up, if we somehow stop bowing to the idols of our own making and surrendering to God what He's asked us to do, then we will lose out. We will miss out. And you know what, church? That is a big fat lie. Yeah. You know, because in our own mind, the ones our hand is empty and open, that God is not big enough or good enough to fill it back up again. That's what we're thinking. You know, our fear of surrender is really our unbelief that God is better than everything that God is asking us to give. There is nothing, everybody say nothing, in your hands that God won't replace more of Himself so you can let it go. What do you need to let go today? I'm not going to sing the Frozen song, Let It Go. What do you need to let go of? John 10:10, it says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Who wants a satisfying life? Yeah. In other version, it says abundant life. But how many of us actually live abundantly? More often than not, we live a halfway Christian life. How many of us live short of the promise of the abundance of God's promise? We settle for mediocre and we just live in a portion of the promise. You know, the enemy, the devil, loves nothing more when you live in this partial promise zone. He just wants you to stay there, you know, just be settling and that'll be okay, you know, because there's grace. Where you are complacent, where you are apathetic to things, where it's indifferent. So today I want to share some thoughts with you on how can we live a life of surrender. There are two examples in the Bible that I want to quickly draw from, and one of them is in the Old Testament and one of them from the New Testament. I want you to turn to Genesis 22 if you have your Bibles with you here or your iPads or your phone, and just quickly look at this story here. And it's about Abraham. This is one of the most moving stories in the Bible. Abraham was known as the father of faith. God's commands to Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Now, if you read the story, you would know that Isaac is the son of promise. He waited 25 years for Isaac, the son of promise. Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. Can you imagine having a baby at 90 years of age? Like, Abraham wouldn't probably be able to run around and play with the baby. But as you read this passage, it seems unfair or inconceivable that God would ask Abraham to kill his own son. It seems opposed to God's nature. It seems impossible, unreasonable, and illogical. And the way Abraham responded even more staggers me. He obeyed without a word of protest. Now, how many of us, when God asks us to do something, do we do the bargaining thing or do we do the negotiating thing with God? I says, can we not do it this week? Can we do it next week? We try and bargain with God. But here, Abraham obeyed without a word of protest. Genesis 22 says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called, yes. He replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Can you imagine yourself in this scenario? You know, I often picture myself what I would do. To be truthfully honest with you, I'd probably go, I think I've ate too much pizza. Or I doubt I heard from God. Hey, let's keep it real. Because it seems illogical and unreasonable request for God to God to ask Abraham to kill his own son, the son of promise that he waited 25 years. That's why I mentioned last week that our view of God is not incorrect, but often than not, it's incomplete. Abraham's obedient surrender to is the pinnacle point of faith in all history. There's nothing more beautiful and fulfilling than saying yes to God. Abraham says, yes, here I am. Psalm 27:8 says, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Lord, I am coming. What is your heart saying to you today? You know, this morning at our team, before everything started, we have a little devotion prayer, like just a five-minute corporate thing. And I shared in Psalm 45, I says, my heart is stirred with a noble theme. Like, what is our beautiful words stir my heart, is what I said. And I asked the team, what beautiful words or things stir your heart today? And so I ask you this morning as a church community, as a church family, what is your heart saying to you today? What will you do when God speaks to your heart? Because more often than not, we hear with our head, but we don't hear with our heart. Did you know that your yes doesn't start with your lips, but it starts with your heart? Think about that. Like it or not, where God took Abraham is where God seeks to bring each and every one of us. The second example I want to bring you to is in the New Testament, and that is Jesus. Now, Jesus in Luke 22:42, he's at the garden and he's going to get crucified, right? But so he was he was there just wanting to just have some time with God where he was, but he's going to be tried and he's going to be brutally tortured and mocked and, you know, carry the cross. And so it says there that if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. When was the last time you said to God, not my will, but yours be done? It's all about abandoning to the one who will never abandon me. Our job is obedience. God's job is everything else. William Booth states this, the greatest of man's power is in his surrender. I believe God is calling each and every one of us here to surrender. This is what it's all about. To be a fully devoted follower of God and to be a disciple, we must live a life of surrender. He's not just calling us and leave it and figure it out yourself. He's actually going to give us a blueprint. And a lot of us, sadly, is living in a halfway surrender where we say to God, okay, God, you can have this part of my life, but do not touch that. Can touch this. Don't touch that. That is mine. Either Jesus is your Lord or Savior, or he is not. Either God is worthy of your trust and surrender, or he is not. We can't have it both ways. Stop straddling for your foot on the other camp and the other one on the other. We gotta live a life of surrender. You know, some things have to change, and sometimes we sense it, you know, we sense the things that we need to change. But how often do we go for the superficial change? But God is wanting a supernatural change in our lives. We sense we need the change, so we go out and either buy new furniture, you know, move things around the house like I do. But those are superficial things. God is saying to us today, don't change all of that, because you can change all of that, but at the end of the day, it's not going to change you. You change the external factors, but God is wanting to change you. He wants to work from the inside out. Listen, nothing will change until you learn to surrender. There are three things I believe God is calling us to surrender. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, now may the peace of God make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Today, God is going to teach us how to fully surrender our spirit, how to fully surrender, our soul, and how to fully surrender our body. So we need to start with this, the spirit. You know, surrender starts with salvation. Our spirit must be born again. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, then I will give you an opportunity at the end of this sermon to come to know him. There is no surrender without salvation. John 14:6 says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So there's no halfway, there's no shortcut, there's no trying to get into and do your good works. It's through Jesus that we can come to the Father. And that is just the way it happens. You know, God made sure that to get access to him that we go through Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. This is the way and the only way. Jesus is the gate. He is the gatekeeper, and he is waiting for you and I to go to that gate. Galatians 2:16 in the Message Bible, it says, "We know very well that we are not set right with God by rule keeping, but only through personal faith in Jesus Christ." How do we know? We tried it, and we had the best system of rules the world has ever seen. Convinced that no human being can please God by self-improvement, we believe in Jesus as the Messiah, so that we might be set right before God by trusting in the Messiah, which is Jesus, not by trying to be good. Anyone try to be good? We try to be good, don't we? And we just think, oh, well, that's a fail. God is not looking for your works. God is looking for your heart. Is your heart right with God? Is your heart right with Jesus? Because we can come to God, to the Father, through Jesus. Verse 19, it says here, "What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off." Don't you love the language? "I'm working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man." Some of us here are trying to be lawmen. We're trying to do and strive for works. When Jesus clearly says, you can't earn that. When it comes to your spirit, it is received through Jesus Christ. So when I give you some points, I'm going to give you practical points to actually go through this, okay? So the practical points I want to give you is that trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Many trust God as their Savior because they want Jesus to save them from something. But more often than not, people don't want to trust Jesus as their Lord because Lord is a command. It's more of a like a personal thing. It's about trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So what does that mean? It's recognizing that we are a sinner. It's acknowledging and saying to God, look, God, I've fallen short of your glory. I sin every day. I sin every time. And I want to admit that I'm a sinner and I want to invite you into my life. It's about believing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And on the third day, he rose again so that we can have eternal life with him. He conquered death, grave, and sin. So we choose then to be his, you know, Lord and Savior. And that's in a nutshell salvation. And that's the first step. Second thing is to receive his love every day. It's about needing God's love every day. It's about needing his embrace every day. Don't be complacent about God's love. His mercies are new every morning. Can anyone attest to that? Second thing, surrender requires sanctification. Ooh, that's a big word. What does sanctification mean? It just means to be set apart, to be set apart wholly. This is talking about our soul. Our soul needs to be restored. In John 3:1-2, it says, "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit." So the first one I said was God wants to change us in three things, is the spirit and body and what else did I say? Soul. Glad you guys are listening. Our physical health is connected to our soul. So what's going on here? We can have a healthy body but a poor soul. Did you know that whatever is going on here actually manifests through your body? We get sick, we get the flu and everything like that. Yep, that's normal. But how's your health going? How's your soul? More often than not, we go out there and say, hey, how are you going? Yeah, good. But wait till you go out there and say, well, how's your soul going? That's a bit confronting, isn't it? Go try that at the after the service and see how you go. Probably, you probably get a slap. But you know what I mean? We don't touch the thing, like we don't want to ask those hard questions. But God is asking us of us today, how is your soul? And what is our soul? What is our soul? Oh, okay. What is our soul? It's our mind, will, and emotions. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Do you think God is just talking about the physical body? Because he's talking about our soul, who has been beaten up and has been bruised and everything like that. But God is saying, I'm here to love you. I'm here to restore you. Let me restore your soul. Sanctify simply means to make holy and set apart, is what I said before. But I love this statement where it says, set apart by definition is that to be set apart for the purposes of what it is intended by the designer. And the designer is God. Ephesians 2:1 says we are God's masterpiece, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. You know, I had people say, you know, COVID really is a reset. Reset for some. Reset our priorities. And you know what? And some have. Some have tested our priorities. And you would see it's evident what your priorities are now. You know, I love my phone. Actually, I don't love my phone. I just like it. I'm an avid user. You know, I use it all the time. But you know, what happens is that if I use my phone and something goes wrong with it, I need to reset it back to its factory settings, correct? I need to return to sender. I need the manufacturer, the one who made it. And I have a Samsung, not Apple. Sorry about that, guys. I will make a change soon. Don't worry. And you know what? Make no mistake about it. God wants to reset you to his intentional design. God created us, but the world has corrupted us. We need a reset. We need a factory reset. And sanctification is all about that. It's about the day-to-day process of uprooting the things that God wants to for you to give up. Things that are not in him. Things that doesn't align in his nature. Things like panic. Things like fear, anxiety. All those sorts of things. Sanctification is not as simple as salvation. It's not an instant process. We live in a society where everything is instant. You get 2-minute instant noodles. You can, if you're hungry, you can just go get Uber Eats, or you can just go to drive-thru and get some McDonald's. You know what I mean? We live in a society where everything is instant. You can just microwave the thing instead of putting it in the stove. I love this. It says, you know, are you tired or weary? Well, don't come to Jesus, all who are weary. Come to Starbucks or my cafe or Zarafa's. You get your caffeine fix. You're bored? Why are you bored? Why be bored when you can waste your life away playing games and looking at your phone and doing all that sort of stuff? You want to be sanctified? Well, there's no one-stop shop about it. There's no quick fix for that. It's a process. It's not an instant thing. So I want to challenge each and every one of us here today. For those of you who are watching online with us, it's going to take some time. It's not going to be immediate. Like I said before, sanctification is our soul. It's our mind, will, and emotions, and that's the components of our soul. Our mind, will, and emotion, and God wants each and every one of us to reset how you think and reason. God wants to reset how you make choices. And number 3, God wants to reset how you feel, believe, and remember. Some of us are living with the feeling that, God, I can't do this anymore. God wants to reset you. God wants to reset your priorities. He wants to reset your thinking, your reasoning. You know, some of us are thinking like, God, I'm not worthy to be your son or daughter. But God is saying, I love you. We are the son or daughter of the Most High God. Our will, He wants to reset our will, how to make good choices. You know, there's two options in life. You can either make the good choice or the bad choice. And sometimes, to be honest, I make bad choices. And I think most of us here, if we're honest, we do that. Like, I'm hungry. I'll go to the fridge and go, oh, chocolate or carbs or vegetables. Nah, just chocolate. And, you know, I'm trying to, like, lessen the sugar and overload the sugar. Let's not go there. That's probably a bad example. But we're living in these times where we need to reset. God is wanting to reset our mind, our will, and our emotion. God wants to reset how you feel. Sometimes you feel like you can't do this anymore. And God wants to say, well, let me help you with that. Jesus says, I want to help you reset. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes you just got to allow God to completely embrace you. For God to just help you through all of life's difficulties. You know, when you allow God to love you and to really love you, for you to immerse yourself in there and not just get out, and when you really fully immerse in God's love, you will completely have a different memory. Because some of us, you know, we remember things and sometimes we can't shake it off. And God wants to just embrace you in that love. And He's saying, let me help you with that. He wants you to be emotionally strong. And that's a supernatural change. Romans 7:18 to 20. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. Anybody out there that relates to this? I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. You know what this scripture tells me? That Paul, the writer of that, didn't skip sanctification. And neither do we. Practical points for you for this point. It's find a scripture that will go with your reset. So for me, I get anxious. I get like, oh, is this going to work out? You know, is this going to, you know, help me? I go Romans 8:28. And we know, saying we know. We know. Do you know? That in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now, you are called to His purpose. You are called. The next thing is memorize the scripture. The fruits of the Spirit. Do you know what the fruits of the Spirit are? You went to Sunday school. You should be able to sing it. What is it? But the Holy Spirit, it says, produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I can't sing that one, so I won't even try. And in those things, there is no law. How are we in all of this? Can you say that you have love? Sorry, it's coming off. Can you say that there's peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness? And what about self-control? Yeah, that's not going to work, is it? Can I have the microphone, please? This is not... How is those things? third thing I want to say is surrender requires submission. Can you see that it's all S's? Try to make it easier for you. And another thing is submission. Another word for that is accountability. This is our body that needs to be submitted to accountability. Why? Because submission is a call to discipleship. It's about laying down your life. Our body is the vehicle that makes our spirit and soul around everywhere. That's the vehicle our body is. So my question is, where is that vehicle taking you and driving you? The Word of God says flee temptation. Is your vehicle driving you to it or away from it? You got to have some boundaries for those of you who know the area in which you are weak in. Is your vehicle driving you to a place that is going to help you grow? Or is it going to hinder you or hurt you? Church is a good place to go, and I'm glad you're here with us today. You need soul food. You need the Word of God in your life. You know, even though our soul and spirit are in here, your body, until you're in heaven, it has triggers that will either trigger you to the things that are good or to the things that are bad. Are you accountable with your triggers? What triggers you? What are the gateways of your body? That's normally the sight, touch, taste, sound, and smell. What have you developed a taste for? Who's in your corner? Who are you accountable with? Who's your coach, for want of a better word, or who's your counselor? Can I say that your spouse isn't your counselor, isn't a coach for you? You sometimes, yes, you share things, but there are some things that you need to work on yourself, so you need to have somebody in your world and in your life and in your corner that you can be accountable with. Some practical points for you here. Pursue consistent counseling. I'm not just saying that because I'm a counselor, but I go to a counselor. There's no shame in that, because I want to be accountable for the things, on what I do, what I think, how I feel, how I behave, all those sorts of things. Proverbs 11:17 says, plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Number two, practical things. Join a connect group. Oh, yes, somebody actually is awake. Join a connect group. Are you in a connect group? You know, we made it easier for you. We were holding like an online online thing on a Wednesday, and also for in-person gathering. But what if COVID didn't happen and you actually needed to go in person? Where is your connect group? Who do you go to? Or do you just want to stay at home and feel like, yeah, I can do this all by myself? You're not accountable to anybody. How do we know? Like we always say to our team, we don't know what we don't know. How can we pastor you better? Can I just speak something on this? How can we pastor you if we don't know? How can we pastor you? How can we help you if you are not accountable to anybody? You're just doing your own thing. And then later on you'll say, well, the church didn't help me. The church is not calling me. Well, hello, the Connect group is there for you. That is your corner. That is your accountability. So if you're not in a Connect group, and no judgment, by the way, but if you're not in a Connect group, I really urge you and encourage you, implore you to get to one. And if you don't want the ones that you're going to, then start your own. Be a host. Do your own thing and gather some people. know that was a little bit tough, but I needed it to say it. Because can I just be honest with you? The amount of people that are in connect groups during this COVID time decreased so low. It's not funny. Because people just want to do their own thing. I wonder what might be the things that God is calling you to surrender in this season. Can it be time? Could it be your time? Could it be your talent? Could it be your treasure? Our most often valuable thing that we want to hold on to. Could it be that God's asking you to surrender your finances, your marriage, your relationships, your friendship, your children, your job, or your business? Can I say this to you? You will give God anything when you know and believe God is everything. Did you hear that? Can I say it again? You will give God anything when you believe God is everything. What you have because God gave to you. You know, there's some people here today, and maybe you're watching online and you're thinking, what on earth is this girl talking about? I'm simply asking you to surrender afresh to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And there's two types of people here today, and I want to give you an opportunity to. Number one is to receive Jesus, not just as your Savior, but as your Lord also. And number two is surrender for the people who have actually the disciple and fully devoted follower of God, but you have slipped and you keep taking things back that you have given to God at the foot of the cross, and you go, God, you're not doing anything. You are too slow. Can I just take it back? Well, God is asking you to renew your surrender afresh today. Is there any one of you who have taken things back because you think God is not capable of doing what He's supposed to do, what He's promised to do? We sang it this morning. He is a way maker. That He is working even if you don't see it. Even if you don't feel it, He's working. So what is it, church, that you need to surrender afresh to God today? You know, God is asking you simply to just trust Him. To just trust Him. Do you fully trust Him? Because sometimes we just trust a portion because we think that's all God can do. But God is bigger than anything you could ever imagine. He said you will never lack if you trust Him. So today, we're going to have communion today. And most of you would know that we have your personal communion cup. So why don't we all stand today? We're going to sing this song, I Surrender All. But before we do that, I just want to ask you, what do you need to surrender to God today? And as you stand there, ask God to help you. If it is that you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then let's do that. Let's ask Him. And for those of you who want to renew your surrender afresh to God, let's do that as well. While no one's looking around, that's just some privacy. You know, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you will be saved. I wonder today whether you're online today and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you don't really know what it really means to be saved, or in a better word, it's really just asking God to take over your life. It's simply asking God to help you live a life of making good choices. It's simply asking God to forgive you of your sins and to help you live a life that's worthy. that you won't be ashamed of. So why don't we just pray now before we take communion. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, then I'd encourage you to take communion. But if you're not, then let's pray this prayer right now. Father, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you died for my sins. I acknowledge and believe that you are the Son. Lord, that you died on the cross for me, and on the third day you rose again. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you, Lord God, that I am yours and you are mine. And I am now whole and I am complete in you. Please help me to live a life worthy of your calling. Please help me to live a life surrendered to you. I thank you, Jesus, for making a way when there is no way. I surrender all to you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Why don't we just take this communion before we sing this song? For those of you who have communion at home, just take a piece of bread or a biscuit and know that this is a symbol of his broken body given for you, so that his body is made whole. So you can, his body was broken so that you can be made whole. Let's take it. And this juice is a representation of his blood that was shed that day on Calvary. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. So Lord, why don't we just take a moment to thank God for forgiving us. Let's take it now. Thank you, Lord God, for the sacrifice that you have given us. Thank you for dying for us for our sin. Thank you that we are made whole. And Lord, we just surrender afresh to you this morning. We just surrender our life to you this morning. Let's sing this song.